We have come as far as verse 22 in chapter 5, but I'm going to back up to 13 because it's been a couple of weeks and we'll run into the section we're looking at today. It says, "For brethren," in verse 13 of chapter 5, "you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love continually serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh continually lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit continually lusting against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain, they're evident, they're manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I'm telling you ahead of time, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things continually live in them, habitually do these things." That's their lifestyle. Those who do such things, he says, this is the bottom line, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But, great word in this movement here, "but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness is probably the idea there, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's not going to be any law that's going to say don't do these things. "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we walk then in the Spirit, let us also, if we live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit." Let us live that way. "Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another." Rather, the contrast is, he said in verse 13, that by love we should serve one another. Paul goes through these things that are acts of the flesh, and there's a prohibition. You shouldn't live this way. This shouldn't be going on in your life. If you're calling yourself a Christian and you're constantly living in sexual sin, you're constantly drunk, you're constantly fighting, you're constantly, you know, he said, you have to ask a real question. Are you really in the faith? Because those who live, you're telling me you live that way and you're in the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit of God? I doubt it. People who constantly live in sin like that, they may have religion, they don't have relationship. They may have church, they don't have the new birth. And Paul says, people who live that way constantly, that's their message, and they're not going to hurt the kingdom of God. But in contrast to that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, he's doing this on purpose because, look, you can't just give somebody a list of prohibitions. You know, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't. And so many Christians interpret Christianity that way. Tell me about yourself. Are you walking with the Lord? Well, I don't do this, and I don't drink anymore, and I'm not drugging. I don't do this. I'm not, you know, don't do that. I don't do this anymore, and I don't do that. And I still don't know who you are. I only know what you don't do. I'm not going to know who you are until I know what you do. I'm glad there's things you don't do, but that doesn't tell me who you are. What tells me who you are is what you do. Your character, your nature, how do you live? Not your prohibitions. I don't do any of these things. Well, that's great. What do you do? Then I'm going to know who you are. And he says here, okay, these are the things of the flesh. These are the acts of the flesh. These are the things that are prohibited. We shouldn't be there, but where we should be is here. And then he brings us into another realm, and he says, this by this fruit. Now, he's contrasting the works, plural, of the flesh with the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. And certainly the fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy is an expression of that love. Peace is an expression of that love. Long-suffering, meekness, temperance, all the rest are love in action. So there's a singular fruit, but it peels off. It looks all of these different ways. And it's not produced by human endeavor. Works of the flesh. There are works in a factory. There are works of human endeavor. You think of works, you think of sweat, you think of human energy. This is what I can do. You say, well, these are the works of the flesh. This is what the flesh can produce. We're not talking about that, he says. We're talking about a great contrast, and that is what the Holy Spirit of God in your life can produce. The fruit of the Spirit is, and that is a present active. He is presently, actively doing these things in your life. So as we look at this list, you can't say, oh, okay, I need to love. Honey, don't worry about it anymore. You're on top now. I didn't understand till today. I'm going to walk out of here loving. You know, I came in miserable. I'm leaving with joy. I came in, you know, tortured. I'm leaving with peace. You know, I came in this way. I'm leaving with long suffering or meekness. It doesn't happen like that. You can't, in your own energy, have these things functional in your life. What you can do is walk in the Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit that produces these, you know, this fruit, this character in our lives. It's supernatural because these are things that operate under duress. This is not just, I love everybody. No, this is when somebody mistreats you and you say, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do. This is a supernatural list of characteristics of the very life of Christ that are produced in us by the Spirit. Your job is not to produce them. Your job is to walk in the Spirit, to yield yourself to the Spirit, to be in communion with Christ. You can't produce these things in and of yourself. They are supernatural. They are not natural. You can't produce them. Fruit is produced in quietness. You know, contrast to factory works, human endeavor, human activity. Fruit, hanging on a branch, is in quietness. It's unfolding, blossoming, growing. There's life. Regeneration. Look, as we look at this, understand certain things. The gift of the Spirit, Paul had talked about that earlier. We read about it in 2 Corinthians in the book of Acts. The gift of the Spirit is salvation, eternal life. That's the gift of the Spirit. The gifts, plural, of the Spirit are different in all of our lives. We differentiate that way. The body of Christ, every joint, every ligament supplies. Paul says we can't all be an eyeball. We can't all be an ear. He said if your body was one big eyeball, you saw the movie, The Crawling Eye, that's what you'd be, you know. You know, we're not all a hand. We're not all a mouth, though we all want to be. We're all, you know, we're not all ears. The body has all different members. So gifts in plurality of the Spirit is how we function so that there's a healthy body. We're all different. We all function differently. You know, we contribute differently, and God does it. It's not talking about natural talent. You can never produce anything in the kingdom by natural talent, but by the gifts of the Spirit. Then there are these graces of the Spirit, these fruits of the Spirit here, that deals with character, not the new birth, not your serving in the body of Christ, but character. And every one of us is to have this character because it's the very nature of Christ being formed in us. You know, he who has begun a good work in us is going to continue to that day. Again, your destination is not just a place, it's an image. We're being conformed into his image and likeness. He is the one who most perfectly demonstrated these characteristics in a life. And God is committed to form them in us, this fruit of the Spirit. These things are common to all of us as we look at it. And it's look, here's the important thing. We're here this morning. We're going through Galatians. We're looking, okay, here's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, I know that passage. No. This is real stuff. This is not an intellectual exercise. This is not a theoretical examination of a theological text. This is not simply exegeting the passage in a proper hermeneutic. This is real fruit that the Bible's talking about. in our lives. This is not wax fruit. You all had a grandma or an aunt that had a bowl of that in their house. It was depressing when you were a little kid. You wanted to bite it to see if you could get anything out of it. Well, what kind of a mean person would put fake fruit out with a little kid around? And then if they were worried about you biting it, then they had porcelain fruit. None of that works here. This is real fruit. It is the evidence of a spirit-filled life. And believe me, as I work through these things this week, I am keenly aware of the things in my own life that are not Christ-like. The things in my own life that still need to change. I am so aware. And my wife helps me. We have an argument, you know, and we'll do it on purpose, like once every 5 years, just so we remember what it was like. And she'll say, "You are so crabby. You are impatient." She has this list. She works through this list. And I think, "Lord, I am so desperately in need of the work of your Holy Spirit in my life, just to be a Christian man, to be a son. You told me earlier in the book of Galatians that your Spirit is in my heart crying, 'Abba, Father,' that I can cry out to you. You've asked me to live in your Spirit and to put away the things of the flesh, that I have now a different drive, a different influence, a different hunger, something that was never there before. And when I find myself being short with her or being unchristlike in any situation, I'm grieved. If I'm going to be just the Christian man and the Christian husband I need to be, I forget about everybody else, just means I need to take hold of the hem of his garment and never, never let go. Every minute of every day. And I find myself falling short. Look, he lays these things out in triads. There's three and three and three. Love, joy, peace certainly has to do with our relationship with the Lord. You know, that's something we have from him. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness deals with our relationship with those that are around us. Faithfulness, meekness, and temperance deals with internal controls, something going on within us. And we understand that we can't do this on our own. We have no ability in and of ourselves. Jesus says it to us this way, and extremely important and certainly something we should all be familiar with. "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, he prunes it, he cleanses it, he cares for it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue then in my love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Except we abide in Christ. It isn't produced because we see the list and think, gee, I need to, let me check off, I'm okay with joy, let me check off, in fact, love, joy, peace, I'm there, but what do I need the rest of this list? Long-suffering, patience, I don't want to have to deal with this stuff, but I need to work on it. It doesn't work that way. Am I abiding in Christ? It's a challenge and a reproof for me personally. Am I abiding in Christ? Because I am convinced, he says, without me, you can do nothing. You can bear no fruit. I am convinced in my own life that if I am not clinging to him 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, and 24 hours a day, I can't produce anything in and of myself. I have come to that conclusion, 63 years, I got nothing without him, and I have everything with him, and I am convinced of it. This fruit of the Spirit is produced by abiding in the Spirit, in the spiritual realm. You don't produce the fruit, you abide. You put yourself into the environment. Look, it has to be in the proper climate. If you've noticed the weather around here lately, we ain't going to be growing any citrus fruit anytime soon around here. That needs to be in Florida, in California, you know, in the proper environment. The proper environment for this fruit is communion, communing with Christ. The proper environment is abiding in his word, he says. The proper environment is walking in the Holy Spirit. The proper environment is the fellowship of the saints. You understand, this is the Holy Spirit will produce a new compass in our lives, a new inclination, a new prodding, a new direction. It happens spontaneously through regeneration. When we're born again, all of a sudden there's a completely different character that should be dominant through the new birth that's in us. It isn't religion, it's reality. And the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, then prods us in a new direction. He said, no, that's wrong. No, don't do that. No, move this way. Love this person. They're under your skin. That's what I did on the cross. I want you to be joyous, not because you're happy, not because everything's working out, but because there's an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. You ain't seen nothing yet. You have a hope that nobody in this world has. That should give me joy. Peace, Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives. My peace I give to you. It's otherworldly. It's of the Spirit of God. It isn't because these are the things that operate under duress. Love, joy, peace should be because of our time in his presence. Long-suffering, which is better, patience. Gentleness, the idea there is kindness. Goodness, just doing the right thing. Goodness, those things towards our fellow man. Look, I'm not perfect at that all the time. My wife, that's one of the things she gives me. You are so impatient. And, you know, she doesn't understand. This guy in front of me doesn't know the world is coming to an end. I have things to do. I feel that. I can't lollygag. Or in the supermarket, the checkout stand does not mean you get a check out when you get to the cash register. You're writing a check for $2. Here's the $2. Get out of line. Just get out of my way. My wife will say, you are so impatient. Of course, it doesn't apply when she says, honey, you're not listening, are you? fruit in my life that wasn't there before. I was so selfish. I was so self-indulged. And how God has changed me. Again, you know, just remembering my poor parents, you know. I get saved when I was 22, and one of the first things I thought is, these poor people. Again, Germans. They were Germans. I didn't speak English till I was 5. And I remember, you know, coming to the breakfast table with sunglasses, high on LSD. Long hair, sunglasses. You're thinking, what are... And they're kind of looking at me like... And I'm like, nobody will notice this. I remember my mom crying, saying, I don't know who you are. One time my dad said, I have listened to you for a half an hour. I have no idea what you're talking about. And I got saved, and I thought, these poor people that have sacrificed and laid down their lives for me. And I'm so thankful my dad gets saved before he died. He's in heaven waiting. And my mom's still hobbling around with her walker. She won't listen to anything I say. She still calls me Joey. Still thinks she's in charge. She'll be here next service. Gone to heaven. Saved. Think what the Lord's done, you know. The love that I had for them, you know, just how things change. Long suffering, to be patient with other people. Gentleness. This is one of the things with Jesus, you know, the kids, people were intimidated by him, the religious, the kids would run and sit on his lap. There's something about his character. He was no wimp. He went into the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers, made a whip and drove people out. But the kids understood. Kids know who he was. They would come and sit on his lap. Gentleness. Goodness. How we lack that in our world. Faithfulness. These are just things now that mark you. How important in the world we live in. Isn't it nice to find somebody who's faithful, who does what they say they're going to do? Somebody you can leave on the job is not going to be stealing pencils and paper and erasers and stuff from the desk. And faithfulness. Meekness is just, it's just being able to walk the right way. Jesus said the only thing he described himself as was meek. He was meek and lowly. Temperance is self-control. Self-control. I mean, how many times the Holy Spirit say to me, don't do that. Don't watch that. Don't say that. Don't look that way. And look, I do good 95% of the time. It's just, you know, once in a while you say to the Holy Spirit, look, stay right here. I'm going to be back in a minute. I'm going to need grace for about a day and a half after I do this. But this, it's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. Your pipe spins around, you get out the spinach, and you're ready to go. Those moments come, don't they? And the Holy Spirit inside saying, no, you listen. You turn the other cheek. You calm down right now. You be the man that I died on the cross to make you. You be the husband that I want you to be, the father, the grandfather, the pastor. Because the Holy Spirit, look, will produce that fruit. The Holy Spirit will prod us in those directions. The Holy Spirit gives us life. The Holy Spirit will influence us that way, but the Holy Spirit will not assume your responsibility in the process. Jesus would say this to his disciples, to us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And the inference is he must deny himself. It's moment by moment. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Jesus said, look, this is what you need to do. I'll put the Holy Spirit in you. I'll change you. I'll give you a new nature. I'll give you a new inclination. I'll make your hunger for things of another world. I'll make you long for better things. I'll produce a spirit in you that when you do something selfish or mean-spirited, you will grieve and you'll come to me on your knees. You'll ask forgiveness. You'll ask me to strengthen you, encourage you. I'll put all of that in you. But what you need to do, you need to take up your cross and follow me. You need to put to death, you know, the cross is pitiless and merciless. No survivors. I want you, moment by moment, to walk with me this way. I want you, moment by moment, yielding to the influence that I put in your life and putting to death these other things, the works of the flesh. If you walk, if you live in the Spirit, if that's how you got life, then walk in the Spirit. And look, the Spirit's part of this is present active. It's continuous, and he's actively doing it. So we're not without resource, any of us here in this room. Paul will say to Timothy, he says, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of clay, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself of these things, he's going to name them, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use. Don't we want to be that way, set aside for the master's use? Prepared unto every good work. Here's the things that we need to set aside. Flee also youthful lusts. That's how he started the list. The works of the flesh, sexual lust. Adultery, fornication. The fruit of the Spirit, the opposite, love. We have a culture trying to tell us, what's love? What's love got to do with it? What's love but? Come on. Secondhand emotion. Somebody was there. Thank you. You know, it's more than that. It isn't that, you know. He says, flee youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Don't argue, knowing they gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. That's the fruit of the Spirit. With all men apt to teach, must be patient in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. He goes through the list. Put those things aside. If you can put aside those fleshly things, you become, he says, a vessel fit for the master's use. He will give you all the inclinations. He will give you all the prodding. You will never doubt direction. Let's see, should I punch this guy or love this guy? I can't figure it out. The Bible's so confusing. Cut me a break. You know what you're supposed to do. Should I go to Safari? Should I turn on this pornography or shouldn't I? I don't know, the Bible's just not clear. No, you gotta hold the Holy Ghost right there saying, don't do that, don't turn it on. Don't do this. Don't Google this. Don't go there. Don't drink this. Don't snort this. Don't play with this. Don't be bitter. Don't be envious. Don't be fake. Don't be wax fruit. We have that. It's a gift from God. Our part is the yielding. If we yield, he produces. Listen, it doesn't happen overnight. John the Apostle and his brother James. John was probably the youngest of the apostles, probably 15, maybe 16 when the Lord called him. He was probably 17 or 18 at the Last Supper when he leaned on the Lord's breast, because he's alive, 90 AD, the Isle of Patmos, all the rest of them are gone. He's the last living apostle. He comes back, he writes the Gospel of John like it happened the day before through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But as a young man, he was passionate. He was filled with fire. He loved Jesus. They're on their way to Jerusalem. He sends them to rent a room in Samaria, and the Samaritans wouldn't give space. He comes back to the Lord, him and James, and say, Lord, the Samaritans will not rent us a room. Call down fire from heaven and smoke them. Burn up the city. It's not a big city. We need to set an example so the next town we go to will rent us a room right away. Just incinerate them. And the Lord says, you don't know what spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You don't know what spirit you are of. The Son of Man came not to destroy life, but to save it. And this young, passionate, misguided man, as he writes to us, the Gospel of John, has become the apostle of love. The years have gone by. They've worn him down. Again, as an old man, Bronto Phonos, thunder voice, they say, old John would be carried before the church and he would look with tears and just say, little children, love one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. Paul said, these three abide, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So we get to heaven, faith, hope, and love by no more faith. Heaven, faith is turned to sight. You don't have to believe in anything. It's in front of your eye. You look in the face of Christ. You look at the angels. You look at the city. You look at your loved ones resurrected. No more faith. No more hope. You think there's anything possibly beyond that that we would ever hope for? It's fulfilled. But love, it's going to abide forever. It's going to be the temperature and the climate of eternity. And I look at this and I think, Lord, help me, Lord, to remember that this fruit in my life is not for self-consumption. I'm not producing fruit so I can eat it myself. Long-suffering is for others. Patience and kindness is for others. Self-control is for others. Love and joy, peace, Lord, these things are for other people. He wants us to walk that way. He says, they that are Christ, verse 24, they've crucified the flesh and the affections thereof. Jesus said, take up your cross. If we live in the Spirit, if that's where our life is from, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us flee youthful lust. Let us be a vessel fit for the Master's use. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. That's wax fruit. Provoking one another. And you see, there's people like that. They praise the Lord. Oh, you know, I would never do this. Oh, I love everybody. And you know, because you, everything, I hear everything, but, you know, they're gossiping, they're slandering, they're tearing down. What they are, it's wax fruit. Hey, look at me. I'm shiny. You can't eat me. You can't enjoy me, but here I am. I look good in the middle of the table in a bowl, don't I? I'd look better on the stage with a spotlight on me, but here I am, you know. He says, that, no, don't do that. There's no entitlements. We should have no agenda. We shouldn't be phony. We shouldn't be faking it. He's talking about the very nature of Christ being formed within us, within me. And believe me, I'm not worried about you guys. I'm worried about moi. Moi, me. I look at our nation, and I look at our culture. I look at the fact that we have lost our minds. A fifth grader can exercise more common sense than we find coming out of the halls of power sometime these days. And because we have refused to acknowledge him, we've been given over to a reprobate mind. We don't know what's right and what's wrong. The only hope is a God-given revival. He doesn't owe it to us, but it's the only hope. Not going to come from anywhere else. It's not enough for us to have all of our bells and our whistles and our projection and our all the stuff. We got it all. But I think with all the tools in the toolbox, look at the direction of the nation still. God, we need Spirit-filled men. And I'm going to start right here. Spirit-filled husbands and fathers. Spirit-filled pastors and congregations. We need something from another world that lost people are shocked by when they encounter. Something that's so real that their baloney meter doesn't go off. Something so genuine that it speaks of another world. And I need it first in my life. I need it. If you don't need it, pray for me. Pray for me. I want my time alone with Jesus to be more real than it has ever been. And I love the Lord. And I love to sit and cry, Abba, Father. And I'm overwhelmed with the fact that the Lord loves me. And it really blows my mind that he likes me on top of that. He has to love me because he wrote the rules, you know. But he likes me. He likes me. John 16 says that he likes me. That's remarkable. But like a child, I'm so often distracted with other things and pulled in other directions. Like, Lord, bring me to my knees. Lord, get me alone. Lord, speak to me. Let me see your glory. Change me. By your grace, Lord, let me yield. I've never yielded before. I don't know the world that my kids and my grandkids are going to have. I can't go through this and not bring about some effect. I can't. Do this. Have a life that doesn't count. And the life I have can never count without the power of his Spirit. Paul says, look, when you receive the Spirit, did you do that by the hearing of faith or by keeping the law? Your new birth, born again. He said it was by faith. It was by hearing. He said, I want to know this, having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? If we started that way, and it was all God in the beginning, then the only thing that can perfect us, the only thing that produced fruit in us, is the same Spirit. And he said, the Spirit that now works presently, miraculously in your life, does that happen by the law, or does it happen by faith? Any miracles that happen around us, anything. He says, look, it begins that way, it continues that way, it produces that way, and it ends that way. It is supernatural from beginning to end, and when we stand in glory, all of the glory goes to Jesus Christ. It's all his. It is all his. So, my encouragement to you is, same thing that I'm saying to myself. No wax fruit. No wax on, wax off. No wax fruit. Real fruit. Life. It comes from abiding. It happens wonderfully, mysteriously, supernaturally as we abide in Jesus Christ. You never see an apple hanging on a tree straining to get ripe. I'm going to do this, you know. I'm coming. You just wait. You're going to like biting into me. You know. No. You just look. The fruit just hangs there. Just hang out in Jesus. Hang out in his Spirit. Not in the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, then let's walk in the Spirit. And he produces the fruit. It isn't through strain or struggle or human sweat. That's the works of the flesh. The character of Jesus Christ is produced in us supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. He will not assume your responsibility in the process. You need to be willing to follow, to be in the right climate, to put yourself to death, to say no to the flesh and to yield to the Spirit. But all of what is necessary for this to be a successful transformation is supplied by His grace. Amen? Let's stand. Let's pray. Read ahead. Father, we thank You for these things. And Lord, we can laugh at ourselves in the process. We are willing to acknowledge, Lord. We draw these lines. We want to see clearly, Lord. We do, moment by moment, want to live a repentant life and constantly, Lord, take up our cross. And yet we believe in Your grace, Lord. We believe in Your sovereign work at the same time, Lord. And we ask then that You would produce in us, Lord, that the inclination and the compass You put in us, the prompting, the moving, Lord, of our hearts by Your Spirit would have full sway, Lord, would have full sway. And that, Father in heaven, You would be seeing Your Son formed in each of us. That You would enjoy, Lord, the reward of the great sacrifice You made so that You might bring many sons and daughters to glory. Forgive us, Lord, for our stubbornness, Lord, as we listen today. Forgive us, Lord, as we move across this room in any of these things that we have not yielded and we've kept to the side because we think nobody's watching or nobody sees, Lord. Forgive us those things, Lord, today. Give us, Lord, a fresh start, a new beginning, Lord. Your mercies are new, Lord, every morning. You're committed to continue the good work You've begun in us. That's Your word. You never leave us or forsake us, even to the end of the age. You're with us always. Have us today, Lord. We love You and we pray in Your name. Amen.